Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome. Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what is up?
Oh, the sun is shining.
Good Monday. Yeah,
feeling great.
Yes. What do they call it?
Summertime. What do they call it? What
like
do we call
when
it?
You like you know when you're getting rays and it's like it's not endorphins, but it's like
tuds. We're getting tuds.
You gotta stop.
What is Colorado Rockies?
You asked me what it was called. I thought it was getting tuds.
It's a melanoma. Oh.
What?
Isn't that what it is?
We've got skin cancer? Is that what's happening?
Well, if you stay out too long, you might.
Are you talking serotonin? Is that what you're talking about?
Melatonin? Is that what I'm talking about?
I believe melatonin, but yeah. I think melatonin helps you sleep.
We got some melatonin today out there.
I think that makes you sleepy. I think serotonin might be what you want.
I'm not sure you have any idea what you're talking about.
But I'm pretty sure you don't want melanoma. Like, hey, it's nice out. Let's all get melanoma. Yeah. No, I think we just go
vitamin D.
There you go. Vitamin D. How about tuds? Again, I ask you.
You got to stop.
If you're feeling good, why wouldn't you say, hey, I got some tuds today? Yeah. I'm sorry that tuds makes you uncomfortable. Maybe you should get some and then you would be more comfortable. Were you outside today in the sun?
Portions of it.
So you got some tuds.
Yeah.
But not enough.
We got a new dog in our house.
What?
Yeah.
You can't just drop that. Like what?
I know. I thought that would surprise you.
Yeah. I thought you guys were done for a while.
I was, but I didn't have a choice. So. Yeah.
Well, everyone knows. You know how many times I've done the I'm not getting another dog thing? Because I've always had multiple. I've always been a two dog, and then occasionally I get roped into three. And then I'm like, dude, when the one dog dies, no. I'm just sticking with the one I got, and I'll ride it out. No. The dog dies, and then like 3 weeks later, somehow I get roped into it, and then I got another one.
I don't mind another dog.
No.
But I also was fine with not having a dog
sure.
for a little bit longer. But the decision was made for me, clearly, by
absolutely.
My wife,
yeah.
who needs she needs a little companion while she works.
And that's the...
So it's a small dog.
I guess they're saying now, like, shelters, like, the shelters are cleaned out.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's
that's
at home,
right.
And so you're like, let's get a dog.
Yeah, and I think that's great. That's what I told her. She goes, I can't find any dogs. I'm like, that's a good thing.
Yes.
People are adopting dogs.
Yes. That's a very positive, it's a positive thing.
Now this little dog.
So did you take just like the bastard that literally no one wanted?
Not at all. She's pretty cool. Like her name's Molly.
That was my dog growing up.
She,
good old Molly.
She's a little tiny Mexican street dog.
I don't think that's an official term.
Well, that's what she is.
A tiny Mexican street dog.
Yeah.
What?
She's from the streets, mean streets of Mexico.
What is this racist? I don't know if I'm comfortable with this conversation. What, is she a Chihuahua?
I think she's part Chihuahua.
Okay.
I think she might have some wiener dog. You know, my wife, she loves those wieners.
Yes, yes. Well, who doesn't? I think we can all have an affinity for
my
wieners.
My wife likes
wieners.
And she likes old wieners. She also wants to get, and now the dog's three.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike, for playing that drop. It reminded me to tell you how old Molly is. They think roughly three, but she's great. She's,
you know, that means that she's 7 and a half shelters.
She seems younger than
shelters
that.
Are the biggest loads of crap when it comes to that sort of thing. First off, the dog, hey, it looks like a pit bull, walks like a pit bull. I think it's got a collar that says it's a pit. No, it's a lab mix. Sure. How old is it? I think it's like two and a half, maybe three. It's all gray. It's missing a leg. And I think it's about to die. No, it's 2 and a half. Shelters will bark us to any problem that a dog has. So just if they're telling you she's three, assume she's six.
All right. Well, whatever you say. I don't know how old she is, but she's
exactly. And neither does the shelter. So they always skew younger.
She's fun. Like her so far.
Okay.
She's got a good little personality. She's a little yippy.
Well, she is a small dog. I mean,
but that's
and from
only,
the mean streets of Juarez. I mean, yeah. Look, you got to be tough.
She is tough.
You got to prove yourself on the mean streets.
You can tell she's been through a little.
Yeah.
So now she's being pampered.
And she'll hate you and love your wife.
That has already started to play itself out.
Yeah.
They said that most dogs rescued from the streets of Mexico.
Yeah.
Are oftentimes fearful of men because those are the ones that do the most damage to the dogs.
Yeah.
And so she is a little fearful of me.
Well, that and, you know, you're gone and your wife's at home all day with the dog.
Yeah, they've already bonded quite well. Sure.
And all of a sudden the dog's just going to start a complicated plan to get you out of the mix. It's going to be like a Tom and Jerry sort of situation where you're being set up to fail and look like the bad guy at all times. Wait till she poops on the floor and blames you. And next thing you know, your wife's like, no, you get out of here. This is ridiculous. Yeah, you're in some trouble.
Well, Molly is now a Rop.
Okay. Molly Rop.
I didn't have any choice in the matter. Not terribly happy about it, but it's a little dog and it needed a home. So what, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Who am I to?
But can we just call a spade here? You got a Chihuahua. I mean, you did.
She doesn't really look like a Chihuahua, but
you don't want to say you got a Chihuahua, but you got a Chihuahua.
Oh, dude, I think Chihuahuas are great. I don't know what she is. I really don't. She's ugly. I told my wife that. That's not cute. She's like, oh my God, she's adorable. I'm like, no, she's not.
She's ugly cute?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
But she's a sweet little thing. So very exciting.
Wow.
Very exciting.
And this just, did you just show up one day and it was there? Or was it like, hey, let's go look for a dog? Or
no, so our bit has always been, she is always looking at dogs.
Sure.
And I am never looking at dogs until we're ready to get a dog.
Yes.
Like I would love to just walk down into the shelter and look around and kind of feel a couple dogs out or up and then pick one. Because they kind of pick you too, right?
Understand.
Or like there's a story that particularly speaks to me about a rescue that's like, oh man, we should take this dog because our household, like we don't have kids, we don't have other dogs, so it's better for this dog. So those types of things. But I'm only going to shop when I'm ready to buy.
Yeah.
Whereas she's the exact opposite. So she sends me pictures of dogs that need a home every day and has for 7 years.
Yeah.
And I ignore them. I never respond to her text messages ever. This one, she said, hey, we're going to go check out Molly at 10:30 on Saturday. And I said, well,
okay.
All right. Yeah. So we went over to some place in Sherwood and there was Molly. And I went to go play golf and I come home and there's Molly.
Sounds about right. So let's just say you had about, 3% involvement in the acquisition of Molly?
I mean, zero.
Zero?
I was not asked. I was politely allowed to come along on the meeting.
Well, that's where I gave you 3%. You know, it was like a finder's fee sort of thing. You had like a small commission. Because at least she had the decency to let you meet the dog. And that, in her mind, is consent.
But I think she knew that she was going to pick up the dog.
Yeah.
Whereas it was framed to me as, we are going to look at a dog.
Yeah, but again, at least she had some common courtesy to at least, I don't know,
yeah.
give the illusion that you had something to do with this.
Well, I think she was probably hoping that I'd be like, oh my God, this dog's great. We should get this dog, which I wasn't.
No.
But we got her anyway, and she sleeps through the night, so that's nice.
All right.
Like, she just chills. She just lays right in between us there.
What is it, little Yakiro Taco Bell? Wasn't that the little?
Yeah,
the
little Yakiro Taco Bell.
Yeah, the little Chihuahua
I
dog.
Love that little dog.
I think you should get a baby Bjorn and then just carry it around on your chest, because that's the best part of having a little dog is something along those lines. You can ride shotgun on your lap when you're driving around. There's something to be said for a small dog. Like, I want to go small, but it won't. We already have the next one lined up. That's the way my family operates, is they know that I'm pathetic and weak, and that if they just get me to see a dog, I won't be able to say no to it. So they line up the new dog while the old one, like, we have our American Bulldog is getting old, and they've already got like one, they've got her 1 foot in the grave. They're like ready to push her out.
Yeah, she's being replaced.
Yes, we already have that lined up. There's a
before
name,
it's too late.
There's a name picked out. The breed is picked out. They're sending me puppies. Like, hey, this one's got puppies coming up in 6 months. I'm like, she's not dead yet. Just let my old girl have some time. And
but that's what you want to do, though. When they get to be older, you want to introduce them to the dog that's going to replace them. And
see, I have said that
people do that a lot.
I have said hard stance, no, that there will be not another dog in the house until she goes. She's been a great dog. Mm-hmm. She deserves to live out her time.
You don't have a choice.
I probably don't. Somewhere in the next 6 months, there will be a litter of we're going to get an Akita. The litter of puppies will happen, and they'll be like, yeah, let's just go look at it. And I'm like a dumbass and be like, oh, why not? And then I'm coming home with one. I understand how it works, but I'm trying to play the tough guy and say no.
Right.
No third dog, two dogs. When the other one goes, well, then we can talk.
If you let it slide here, where does it stop? You know,
look,
it's your household.
It's really not.
Come on.
It's a family of women and then me. My back's against the ropes.
There are things we are powerless against.
Yes.
And, much of the time, it's women.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
I wanted another bulldog. Guess who's not getting another bulldog? Me. Yeah, that's. And then I was like, well, I wanted a small dog. So I thought maybe like a schnauzer. Guess who's not getting a schnauzer? Me. No, we're going to get a 130-pound Akita. Why? I don't know. Because the women in my family want one. That's why. And so there we go. This is what's happening.
Well, we got a rescue dog. And we would like to formally announce on live radio
yes.
that we'd like to welcome Molly to the primetime family. She's kind of a little bitch.
Yeah, well, so is Daisy, your old wiener dog, and that's
how my wife likes to pick them. She likes the little spunky ones.
There's something about that, though. There's something about a little dog that, you know, it's got a big personality.
Right. She's funny.
Yeah, there's something endearing.
She plays
that.
Fetch, which I think is great.
With so what? Like a pencil?
Well, I have a little ball. Throw a little ball.
Like a ping pong ball?
Across the house, and she, a little foam ball, you know? Yeah. And she just, it's just fun.
Yeah, it's adorable. Go dogs. We don't deserve them. Dogs are so much better than us.
All right. Well, you ready to go? Ready to get going?
Let's do it. Where do you want to start?
Mike Lynch, by the way.
Hey.
Mike Lynch, everybody. He doesn't care about our dog talk. He wants hot cat talk. Lynch is a cat guy.
Mike.
Yeah.
There's so many good things
about you. I mean, I like dogs
you,
a lot. I've always grew up with cats.
I was going out of town once, and I asked Mike if he wanted to house sit. And Mike was originally like, oh yeah, that'd be fine. And then like the idea of watching my dogs terrified him so much, he backed out. He literally asked me, what do I have to do? I said, it's a bulldog.
I've never once taken care of a dog in my life.
Open the door. It goes outside, runs around the yard once, comes inside and takes a nap.
He was a bad ask. Why would you ask him? Well, he doesn't even know what a dog is.
It was over holiday weekend. Mike had said he wasn't going anywhere. So I was like, oh, that's perfect. Right. I just hang out. I said I'll load the house with some beer and, you know, all that and hang out. I have a run of the place. And he was terrified at watching bulldogs.
I was scared. I didn't want to do anything wrong.
They sleep like 19 hours a day.
But you know what that leaves? 5 hours a day.
I would feel the same way about watching cats. Like, I don't really understand. I mean, I think you just kind of leave them alone.
Sure.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Cats are a little easier for that because you just feed them and empty the litter box and then say bye.
Yeah, but what if, like some cats, like what if it gets out? Do I have to chase the cat?
Oh, that's true. I've always had indoor cat only, so I've never really had to worry about that.
I just leave doors and windows open.
Just come and go as they please.
That's probably a bad thing.
I just thought that like my two dogs might be the easiest two dogs to watch in the entire world. And it was such a foreign concept to me that Mike would be flustered at the idea of...
I was.
I don't know. I really don't know what entails... watching my dogs other than sitting on the couch with them. they're fat and lazy. That's why I love bulldogs.
I was overwhelmed, okay? Sitting on the couch with dogs is overwhelming.
Like, what's happening? I don't know. Can't do it.
That would have been funny to come home and Mike's like weeping in the corner and the bulldogs are running around like crazy.
Crumb has broken him. Like, I don't know what to do.
I tried my best.
All right, well, I think we're ready to sports.
Let's.
Big weekend.
It was a big weekend. A
lot of sports to discuss.
Dare I say a mildly interesting college football weekend?
Yeah, there are things to talk about.
Sure.
In our reach around.
Still, the NFL, way better.
Of course.
Yeah.
The NFL never disappoints.
Very rarely.
If it's a full weekend of games, it just doesn't disappoint.
Did you see Cincinnati and Philadelphia? It can disappoint.
Well, that's what I say is a full weekend of games.
Yes.
You know, you're going to get some duds.
Weren't we all rooting for the tie in that one at some point?
I was.
Yeah, I was like,
because I wanted all the Eagles people out of my survivor pool.
This game deserves a tie.
It did. If any game ever deserved a tie, it was that.
All right. So we start with the NFL. That's first up on the fam.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. 1080thefan.com, as always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today on our website, we're asking you, which of these 3-0 teams is the best? Packers, Seahawks, Bills, Steelers. Vote at 1080thefan.com.
It's so early, and that's why I said just be careful making any sort of jumps, any conclusions. And
I conclude the Jets suck.
The Jets, that you can make that. You can make that.
Oh, I can?
Yes.
So some conclusions I can draw.
Yeah, there are some things that are so abundantly clear that it's pretty easy to do. And I feel like you're safe doing that. The Jets aren't magically going to figure out how not to be warmed over dog poo.
You know, the Jets haven't had a lead yet.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Only team in the league without a lead.
That is as bad a football team as I've seen in quite some time. And dare I say this, by the end of the year, if it keeps going this way, the Giants are going to be right there with him. Daniel Jones is regressing before our very eyes because they cannot protect him. And he can't stop turning the ball over and looks beyond uncomfortable. The entire state of New York, minus the Bills, is just in shambles. It's a good thing the Bills are propping up the rest of the state of New York. Now,
well,
if you're going the 3-0 teams.
No, I only have four on there.
Yeah.
You did not listen to my question.
I did listen to the questions.
Okay,
question. You said the Bills.
Yeah, it's only one question.
The Steelers.
Yes.
You had the Packers.
Yes.
And the Seahawks.
That's right. I only chose those four. Now, there are other 3-0 teams.
Sure.
We know that the Bears aren't.
No.
So I left them off. Even though they're 3-0, give them credit.
Tennessee's 3-0.
Tennessee's 3-0. Probably could have put them on there. And then we'll have the winner of the Ravens Chiefs tonight.
And we know that they're both the best teams.
So I just thought these four teams was a little better question because they're all good.
I might be inclined to lean towards Green Bay here, but I don't know. Here's my, like, Seattle is, Russell Wilson is amazing. But
Mr. Unlimited, please.
Mr. Unlimited. Be great. Let's be great. Their defense, though, is bad. It's bad. Flat out bad. Secondary, abysmal. But Russ is just so good right now. He is pulling an Aaron Rodgers from a couple years ago where he's just sprinkling bark dust over all of their holes. But it worries me that if he gets nicked up at all, that scares the living hell out of me because they can't stop anyone.
Geno Smith, man.
Yeah. Because Russ right now just needs to be at full capacity. He's got to be 100%, you know, let Russ cook, or I think Seattle is in trouble. I mean, they're playing close games and he is bailing them out. Buffalo, believe it or not, this is going to be the part that baffles me. I got more faith in the Buffalo offense right now than I do the Buffalo defense. And I don't know if they just get lazy at the end of the games or what, but this was supposed to be just this dominant defense, and there is lapses there, and it's the Buffalo offense bailing them out, which is just bizarre. And Josh Allen is really good right now, and yet he still terrifies me because there's three or four plays every game that should go the other way, that are easy turnovers or balls that should be picked or fumbles, and it's such a razor-thin margin, and right now he's making all the plays. That scares me a little bit. And then I look at Pittsburgh. I'd say Pittsburgh and Green Bay right now to me seem like the most complete teams of those three that you're talking about.
Four.
Of those teams that we're talking about. So I would lean probably towards those two right now. But I can't
even make one pick.
I'll lean towards Green Bay.
Next question.
I love the way their offense is playing. Their defense is good enough. And Aaron Rodgers appears to be in FU mode. And so is Russell Wilson. I hate their defense and their secondary.
Well, that raises the next question, which is, does anybody have a really good defense right now? Because it feels like we've got nothing but points.
The Indianapolis Colts apparently have an amazing defense.
But they've played the Jets.
I'm just saying they were talking about it in that game, how all across the board
the
they
Chargers.
Were ranked near the top.
Yeah. So.
But again,
yeah, competition does.
Is that
matter.
A legit? Like, is that the best? I mean, the Ravens have a good D. The Steelers have a good D.
Steelers just put pressure on you. I saw that the Steelers so far this year, the league average is like, it was like 30. Let's say it was like 31% blitzes, total percentage of your plays. The next highest in the NFL is right at in the low 40s. The Steelers have blitzed on 60% of their snaps.
I like that.
They're just bringing the heat.
Well, and the Niners too. Niners have a good defense, even though they're banged up.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty impressive performance. I mean, they were missing 10 guys and 40% of their salary cap, and yet they outgained the Giants 420 to 231.
Yeah.
And they had 29 first downs, and they won by, what, 27 points or whatever it was?
Yeah.
So they have a good all I'm saying is it just feels like there's a hell of a lot of points being scored.
There is.
And we have to, much like we've done in college football over the years, recalibrate what a good defense actually is.
Yeah.
Because you're going to give up, like if the Packers, I mean, Packers gave up 30.
Yeah, I mean,
Packers and Seahawks, you're so right about Seahawks defense. Their defense sucks.
It's bad.
But they gave up the same number of points as the Packers did.
Yeah. And when you're scoring 35 and 40 a game, then, you know, you can kind of do that. And Kansas City's defense wasn't great last year. It was better, and their offense was so good that it won them a Super Bowl. So maybe that is just the new form of things, is have a dominant offense and then have a defense that plays good enough. Or, you know, Pittsburgh's thing is we're just going to create turnovers and we're going to create negative plays, and our offense can outscore yours because we're going to put you in a hole enough time. So maybe there's an element of that that's going on. But I would say Pittsburgh's defense is good. Baltimore defense is good. The Bills defense is still good. It just hasn't rounded into form yet. But that's still a good defense. San Francisco, when healthy, is a good defense. And New England's defense is good. With all the defections they had to other teams and guys sitting out for COVID, that guy with the sleeveless sweatshirts, he's pretty good. And maybe we shouldn't have doubted his ability to put together a defense.
I can't even imagine.
It's pretty solid, too.
All right. Well, I feel like we're getting fewer flags. A lot of people are pontificating that perhaps the reason why we have all the scoring in the NFL so far, one easy thing is no training, you know, no training camps, preseason games.
Yeah, no tackling, and it's a little rough.
But two, apparently there's a big emphasis in the NFL on only calling pass holding on offense if it's egregious and 100%, you know, if they're certain.
Yeah.
And so those calls are way down, and that's allowing teams to continue and finish drives.
Yeah, I mean, you even look at the
and that's nice. It makes for a fun watch too.
It is. And you look at some of these teams that we're talking about. Buffalo could have had two games that easily gone the other way. Green Bay could have had two games that easily went the other way. Seattle has had a couple games that easily could have gone the other way, right? Just a player or two here. So even the teams that we look at, Kansas City, by the way, eking that one out in overtime against a Chargers team that isn't very good. Even the teams that we believe are really good right now, and a couple of them we know, right, that are going to be there, are going to be double-digit win teams, you're still talking about, you know, a player or two either way, and some of these teams are 1-2,
yep,
as opposed to being 3-0.
That's right.
No, it's just it's been up until now, and you know, it's only three games, but it's been a very fun, competitive season, with the exception of maybe a handful of teams. I see the Jets, who are warmed over garbage, and they've been really bad, and the Giants, Redskins. But even those bad teams have played a couple of close games. There just isn't a lot of easy outs right now, I think, in the NFL, even for the good teams.
All right, more on your Seattle Seahawks quest for a perfect season coming up next. And we do have a surprise firing in the NBA.
Yes.
A little late breaking news, guys.
Dun, dun, dun.
Eric
Spoelstra is fired right before the NBA finals.
Can you believe Pat Riley would do that?
Man.
Just to get the glory of coaching in the finals one more time.
Yeah, Pat Riley, all of a sudden I have appointed myself interim coach.
All right, it is 3:28. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the late breaking NBA news of the last hour or so is that Doc Rivers has been fired by the Clippers.
So you're telling me that blowing great seasons in the playoffs every single year, including like 3-1 advantages, that's not a recipe for keeping
and he
your
blows it and he blows it and he blows it.
That's not a recipe for keeping your job.
Well, in this instance, it was not.
Yeah.
So he is out. So I'm sure Kawhi Leonard and Paul George will have hot takes as to who should be hired.
Well, and I wonder if those guys were consulted. Remember, both those guys are on short-term deals. You basically got one more year to figure this thing out.
Guarantee they were consulted.
So
they got him fired. They don't like him.
And you mortgaged your future to go get these two guys. So if you just have another year and you're not jiving with Doc Rivers, you go into the playoffs again, you get bounced, and then everyone walks, you've just put it a big smoking crater in your franchise for the next 9 years because everyone owns your picks.
Yeah, they got rid of, what, seven firsts?
Something like that. I mean, you got to win next year. It's all or nothing. You can say all you want after this year's disappointing exit after being up 3-1. They did the, oh, it's year one and we're going to be fine and it isn't about, you know, win right now. Well, next year it is, because all it takes is one or two of these guys to leave and go elsewhere, and then you're effed.
Yeah, see, I don't think they are effed. I think that, first of all, I think they should be commended for swinging big, swinging, as Mike would say.
Yes.
And they did do that, and I think that's the way you do it in the NBA. And when it doesn't work, it's amazing how often we say, oh, they're hooped. Toronto, they're hooped.
Yeah.
But no, they weren't. And I think the Clippers, just being the Clippers and being in a large market and having the owner that they have, I think they're going to be well-equipped to somehow be able to come out of it quicker than 9 years. But your point is duly noted. They do have some sense of urgency down there. So the question is who do those guys want as their coach? Because you know they're going to pick it.
Yeah, Mark Jackson is a name that I've seen already bounced around about 1,900 different times.
What if Kawhi goes and gets Nick Nurse?
I wonder if he could use that for what Toronto would pay to keep Nick Nurse.
What about Pop?
Again, I doubt that Pop's leaving San Antonio, but...
Yeah, the report I saw was Ty Lue or Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, those are always the names that come up. I still think it's going to be Kawhi Leonard. We have no idea what Kawhi Leonard and Paul George think.
But whoever they want to be
their head coach will be their head coach. And I just wonder... I wonder the Popovich thing. I just said that kind of in passing, but
Popovich and Kawhi Leonard, apparently that was part of the issue in San Antonio.
See, I don't think it was. I think he had a problem with the way the team handled his injuries, and he always said Popovich was fantastic. His problem was never with Pop. I may be wrong about that, but you know, the Spurs suck. Popovich is like, oh God,
yeah.
You know, maybe this is a swan song for him.
It's possible,
but that's just you know, who knows. Who knows?
But there will clearly be a rubber stamp on the part of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in order for and that's, I got to believe that they were consulted when they decided to fire Doc Rivers. But look, as good as Doc Rivers is and regular season success, and everyone has a lot of respect for him, Doc Rivers has masterminded some of the biggest playoff collapses in modern history, and not just one or two of them either. I mean, you look at like all the different, you know, collapses for higher seeds and being up 3-1 and how many times it's happened. The guy owns like 40% of them. I mean, it's bad. That is not a good, he does not have a good playoff resume.
All right. So the Seahawks won again. Very disappointing defeat for my wallet.
Oh, yeah.
I had Dallas. Yeah. And I was really confident in Dallas. And it's just one of those frustrating games where you, like, it comes down to a 2-point conversion. Basically, Dallas covered.
Yeah.
But the dumbass, who's that, Tristan Hill or whatever? Hello?
The defensive lineman with the two bad hits.
Right? Yeah, I Tristan Hill.
His name, yeah.
Yeah. He hits Russell Wilson way after the ball is released on the 2-point conversion, and then Seattle gets it, or otherwise Dallas is covered. And he missed extra points. It just, the freaking stupid odds makers are so damn good. But I felt like that was going to be, it almost ended 33-31, right? Yeah. Like the Seahawks, I thought were just going to, you know, just get it down there and kick the game-winning field goal, but no.
Nope.
Cowboys managed to give up a touchdown, but then had enough time to go score, and they screwed that. It's just, what a mess in terms of losing against the spread, but that was a close game. That was a good game, I thought.
Yeah, it was a great game.
A fun game, and we knew it would be a shootout.
Yeah, you knew that no defense was making any stops there. You know, and the Dak had the two picks, but one of those came at the end, and that was just, you know, you're trying to make a play. It was an amazing play just to stay on your feet.
Yeah, he almost went down on that one.
That was incredible. But
how about
DK
Metcalf, by the way?
Oh, well, which one? I mean,
there are two of them.
Yeah, well,
relaxing before the goal line.
Relaxing before
the ball
goal line.
Or,
look, he has really, between him and Lockett, neither one of those guys had a lot of hype coming in, obviously, and they have both rounded into just a great duo there with Russ. And I thought Metcalf was just kind of a big, stiff, one route sort of runner coming out of Ole Miss. And it's the reason why he fell in the draft, and he was injury prone and he didn't have a great career at Ole Miss, but he has really blossomed into a really exciting young player. And it helps having the best quarterback in the league. But yes, that was an egregious sort of, you know, that's embarrassing. And Pete Carroll even said afterward, he goes, "We don't have to say anything." He goes, "That will never happen again." I promise you, no one feels more like a dumbass than DK Metcalf about getting that thing punched out. And then I don't remember who the DB was for Dallas, but give him credit for not giving up on the play. He got burned and came down and saw that Metcalf had slowed down and was kind of showboned a little bit and made a great freaking play.
So Metcalf's on pace for 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
And 25 yards per catch.
Yeah, you know, obviously that will calm down a little bit, but
pretty insane.
He is an absolute beast. He's kind of a little bit right now of a poor man's Julio Jones. And you know, he's bigger and more physical. He's not as polished a route runner, but he's getting better. Like when he first came in with the Hawks, you saw it. They would just run maybe one to two routes, and he was a goal line guy. You could run the goal line fade to him. And he's just such a big physical guy, but you watch him now and he is running. He's actually running way more of the route tree. And then when you put it on the other side with the speed burner of Lockett, it's a fun offense.
Mr. Unlimited is the first ever to throw at least four touchdowns in his first three games. That has never happened. And that's what Russ Wilson has done.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
He is playing at such a high level right now. It's ridiculous. And you're getting a couple of this, like, when you watch him and Aaron Rodgers play, they both right now, to me, this is as good as Pat Mahomes was last year. It obviously hasn't been at the same level. Right now, when you look at Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, they are playing the quarterback position as well as you can possibly play.
Trubisky, throw him in there.
Well, yeah, clearly. It's so much fun to watch these guys run around. It's
unstoppable.
This is beautiful.
Seahawks are 9 of 9. In scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah.
Perfect. And they have 111 points in three games, and they've only had to kick one field goal. I mean, dude, you can't get off to a better start on offense.
No, and again, some of this will calm down, right? You're not going to be able to do this at this level, but I just feel like when everyone said coming into the year that there was like, this may have been Russ's year for the MVP, and right now he's grabbing it, and he is proving that he is the best quarterback, the best player in this league right now. And certainly there's others that are great. Again, Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes. But right now, it's pretty clear cut who the best player at least through 3 weeks is, and it's Russ Wilson.
I will give you an NFL team.
Okay.
I'm going to gift it to you.
All right. I'd like that.
And I know you would. And it is going to have a good defense. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bill?
Okay.
Now, I'm going to let you pick one of three quarterbacks. You must win the championship in one season right now, or you give the team back and you give me $1 billion.
I don't have $1 billion, but let's go.
There's a lot on the line.
I'm in debt. I'm in debt for a long time.
Yeah, we'll garnish your wages. We'll figure it out.
Sure.
We'll come up with a plan. This is the scenario, and you have to pick one quarterback to assure that you win it. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or Patrick Mahomes.
Good Lord. And I just have the 1 year.
One right now, starting right now. Write me out.
I think I'm still taking Russ Wilson. Mm. I said at the start of the year that as great as Pat Mahomes is, and the future of him is obviously astronomically bright, I think, and this isn't 3 weeks in, I said it at the start of the season, I thought Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the NFL. And if you gave me the same team, you know, across the board talent-wise, I would take Russell Wilson. And I'll stick with that. I'll take Russ right now.
All right. What's his name? Mr.
Unlimited.
Yeah, Mr. Unlimited.
Except,
Unlimited. Oh, it's Mr. Unlimited.
Limited.
Can I say something, though?
No.
Because I have been a Russell Wilson guy for many years.
Seattle.
I'm clearly not a hater. I've been on board the Russ train for many, many years.
I will say that is true.
That is true.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
I said at the start of the year, he's the best player in the NFL. I don't like him. He just...
You don't like him?
He's a douche.
What? God. What a jerk.
He is. I just...
Let's be great, baby. Let's be great.
Let's be great, baby.
He drives me bananas.
Let's be great.
There's an Alex Rodriguez sort of feel to him for me. And it just...
Let's go. Let's
Yeah. Suk, let's just be great.
Mr. Unlimited. Limited.
He drives me crazy, but he's so...
You want to be great?
He's so freaking good.
Then like Russell Wilson.
What if...
I promise you that there are teammates in that side of that locker room that feel the exact same way, but you just can't say a thing because he's so effing good. But I promise you, there are teammates that think that he is a colossal douche.
And, well, and
you
same go, with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
I mean, look, if you're good, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're a douche.
No.
But you better be good.
Yes. And this goes back when who was it? Sports Illustrated or ESPN, whatever, had the big article about the tension, right, between Russ and the defense when Seattle was first kind of, you know, blossoming their first incarnation of this. And look, we know that he's not the most popular guy in the locker room, and none of that's changed. He's just so good that he has now risen above any sort of criticism where if you don't like him, then you just have to say it behind his back to like your wife or to your buddy because he's that good. But I find him to be insufferable, but he's the best. He's the best player in the NFL. And I'm glad that people are finally starting to acknowledge that. Just 3 years ago, even, I thought he was criminally underrated nationally, but especially locally here with his own fan base and people asking, is he elite and all this crap? I'm glad that he has shut everyone up and given him a big old, you know, S sandwich and has taken his rightful place. If not on top, on the Mount Rushmore of current quarterbacks, because he's that good.
All right, up next, we've got a couple of quarterbacks that will likely be benched. Well, one already has been benched. The other one hasn't, but probably should be.
It's coming.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, just got a Gatorade and a towel. Now we're ready for another segment. Look at this.
Ooh.
Just setting him up and knocking him down. Now, your hatred of Russell Wilson, a lot of people are agreeing with you. Very phony. You know, just kind of maybe uncomfortable in his own skin. Like trying too hard to show that he's perfect.
Yeah, I think he tries to be all things to all people.
Who are you?
He reminds me of Alex Rodriguez.
Is it possible that Russell Wilson doesn't even know who Russell Wilson is? The great Russell Wilson.
I think there's an element to that, right? Like he was accused, right, of it's such a dumb criticism. But, you know, as a white guy, it's hard for me to even chime in on this topic. But, you know, early in his career, players accused him of not being black enough, right? And I do think at times he has tried to address that. And people have talked about it in like different videos that he posts. And I do think that his criticism that he gets sometimes is he tries to be all things to all people, and that that it does come across is very phony, and that there's like multiple personalities. If you want to speak to your teammates, or if you're trying to speak to a social media account, if you're trying to speak to the African American community, or if you're trying to speak to the marketing and business and commercials, and I think at times that does come across as a bit phony or two-faced. And I think people can smell through that. But to be fair to Russ, he's been a great leader on the field. He's never been in trouble. He's great in the community. He's an unbelievable player and has been for years. It's just, it's probably nitpicking a little bit, but for me, like I said, I can appreciate everything he does on the field. Off the field, when he gives an interview or I see a post-game press conference, I just roll my eyes a little bit. Which goes back to Alex Rodriguez, minus the steroid stuff. Alex Rodriguez was one of the three greatest baseball players of all time. But for me, he was never really likable. And I think he really, really wanted to be. And Russ got a little bit of that. Whereas when I watch Pat Mahomes or even Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers is a douche, Rodgers is very kind of bristly and sharp edges. But Rodgers,
yeah, but that's him.
It's him. And Rodgers doesn't make any sort of excuses for it. It's like, hey, this is just me. Brady's got a little bit of this. I think Brady to me seems a little bit phony and two-faced, where he's like this ultimate competitor and I want to be this guy's guy. But then when you watch him in interviews and watch him with all the polished kind of Hollywood crap, none of that seems authentic to me. And it was like that Facebook show he did. Remember I forget what that was called. It was something about father time, right? Beating time or whatever. Mm-hmm. That to me was finally a somewhat authentic look at Tom Brady, and I found it to be quite refreshing. But Brady's got a little bit of this, and I get it. I think when you are trying to be the face of a city, the face of a team, and have literally every endorsement under the sun, like Russell Wilson is hawking 72,000 products, and why wouldn't he? People are lined up to give that dude $10 million to hawk their product, and if you are an advertiser, why wouldn't you want Russ selling your product? And so I get all that. It's just, it doesn't, for a lot of people, it doesn't come across as authentic.
Well, authentic is the key word, you know? That's what we want in our athletes.
Yeah.
Authenticity and more, I don't know, agents or PR people or whomever is in these guys' stable should tell these guys that it's just the best way to go about relating to people and becoming what you think you should be as a leader or whatever, or your brand is just be authentic.
Yep.
Period. And it seems like that isn't coached all that much out there.
Or just throw 15 touchdown passes in the first 3 weeks and then everyone can kiss your ass because you're killing the NFL.
You know who is not throwing 15 touchdown passes?
Who?
Well, we have two guys. Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And Mitchell Trubisky. Both of whom, their coaches, actually there's a third guy we need to throw in this too, and it's Dwayne Haskins.
Boy, the Dwayne Haskins comment was that Ron Rivera had. That was
Well, he's going to bend. He's tired of Dwayne Haskins. Okay, so first of all, I would like you to, and I point this out to you seemingly every year, and I would like you to acknowledge it this time.
Okay.
That it only takes 3 weeks before the backup quarterback is the most popular guy in town.
100%.
All right? And every year, you always come back like, well, I don't think Herbert will start till week 8 or Mayfield until week 3 weeks. Dude, the Bears are 3-0, and they've benched Mitchell Trubisky.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't take long before these coaches get pissed off. So today it was learned that Mitchell Trubisky will not start. It's going to be Nick Foles.
Yeah, Trubisky was benched. They brought in Darth Vader with the visor. All 9 inches of Nick led the huge comeback there. And that was the end of it. And you knew, like, after the game, Foles said all the right things, so did Trubisky, that we don't know what's going to happen moving forward. Yes, we do know. Mitch, your ass is on the bench, and you're not going to be a Bear next year. And so here's 3-0.
He may not be a starter.
Yeah. No, he won't be. He's a backup. He'll go the Mariota road. He'll get signed on somewhere as a backup and have to try to rebuild his career.
But I could see him being more of like the Case Keenum stopgap guy.
Sure.
Where he does get a starting job, but it's just because he's cheap and nobody else wants him and serviceable until they find their guy.
So I find him to be Blake Bortles to me. So,
well, that's what Bortles was.
Oh, Blake Bortles very rarely gets brought in to be anything other than a backup. I just think Trubisky hasn't shown enough to even, to me, be a stopgap. I think that's an insult to Case Keenum or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Trubisky isn't good. He just isn't.
Well, so, it doesn't mean that somebody won't give him the opportunity.
True.
You know?
Yep.
So he's out, and then the Eagles suck balls.
Yeah.
And so but Doug Peterson, I don't even know, is it Jalen Hurts is their backup?
Jalen Hurts is the backup.
And so they're already calling for Jalen Hurts in Philly, and Doug Peterson came out and said, yeah, no thanks.
he's tapped that.
I'm sticking with Wentz.
By the way, offensive line is so bad, though.
Wentz has the worst quarterback rating of any quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
So anybody that you have watched so far that you think sucks.
He sucks worse.
Whoa.
What?
I know what you said, but that was way too close.
It was close.
He sucks worse.
Worse, thank you.
Sucks.
Yeah, that was close.
Yeah, let's not keep really going overboard with that. You said it. It's okay.
Mm. So Wentz will remain the starter for the Eagles. And then what Ron Rivera said about Dwayne Haskins was there comes a point where it's just too much or something. I'm paraphrasing. He's like, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
He said that the other players deserve better. And there comes a point in time where enough is enough, which is, boy, that is a shot directly across the bow of the SS Haskins. I mean, that is, I don't know how more pointed you can be. And normally head coaches are way more democratic when it comes to being critical. I mean, that's like Bruce Arians took a step back and was like, whoa, Ron, that's a bit much. The players deserve better. And there comes a time when enough is enough. Dwayne Haskins is not going to be long to be the starter there in Washington.
You think Alexis Smith gets in?
I don't know how.
Because Kyle Allen sucks.
I don't know where Alex Smith is in that leg. I know he's technically on the roster, but I haven't seen, and I try to read around the NFL different reports for each team. I haven't seen anything on Alex Smith. Anytime you talk about the Haskins being benched, it's Kyle Allen that gets brought up. But I think the idea is that if Haskins isn't the guy, then the season doesn't matter. The idea is to just, quite frankly, be bad and then get in the Lawrence or Justin Fields sweepstakes. So,
all right. Coming up next, let's take a look at we got to carve out some time for Monday Night Football. This is a good game.
Yes.
It's Ravens and Chiefs tonight.
Great game.
And then we'll have our stock watch followed by In the News on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.